Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. I've been receiving quite a number of letters about the final confrontation. I've been receiving a lot of emails about the programs in general. I want to thank you. I want to thank all of you for your input. And I encourage all of you, especially if you're a newer listener to this program, encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. You don't need any capitals and you don't need any spaces, just renewalministries, plural, .net. renewalministries.net. And see what we have available to you on the website. You can certainly listen to our radio programs from that website. You can view our television program from that website. There are many things that are accessible to you through renewalministries.net. So check it out. Today we have our first reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 to 18. Brothers and sisters, sin must not reign over your mortal bodies so that you obey their desires. That's important. Some people say, oh, the desire is so strong in me for this or for that, I just can't help myself. No, perhaps you can't help yourself because you're weak. And that's understandable. We're all weak. But you and Christ together become a formidable opponent to the work of the enemy in your life. And that's what it is. Your temptations to do wrong are directly from the enemy. He knows your weak points. He entices, he suggests, he draws you in a particular direction where you're going to be more weak, more vulnerable, more fragile. And we give in. But Paul says, sin must not reign over your mortal body so that you obey their desires. Well, how's that possible? It's possible because we unite our poor, weak will with Christ's will. Lord, I want what you want so that I may live with you for all eternity. I want what you want so that everyone around me may draw closer to you. That's what you want. That's what you were made for. So what you do when you find yourself experiencing temptation, first of all, if it's a place or a person that causes you to be tempted, step away from it. Don't stay there. It's hard, I know, but step away from it. Step away from the situation, but we're still weak. There's still the desire within us. Then the second step is to say, Lord, I give this desire back to you because it leads me to sin. It may be a fine desire in itself, but if it's used wrongly, it can lead you into sin. And then there are all the evil desires which nobody wants or shouldn't want, and yet aren't we enticed? We're drawn. This is where you say, Lord, I don't want this desire to rule over me. Please send your Holy Spirit to come and strengthen me that I may do good and avoid evil. You pray that way and God will send you strength. It does take your willpower. It does take you cooperating majorly. But God will give you the strength to resist, to overcome. I promise you. Brothers and sisters, sin must not reign over your mortal bodies so that you obey their desires. And do not present the parts of your bodies to sin as weapons for wickedness. Present yourselves to God as raised from the dead to life, and the parts of your bodies to God as weapons for righteousness. Give your whole self over, body, mind, and spirit, and say, Lord, I want to be used for your glory. I want to be used for the advancement of your kingdom. I want to be used to bring people close to you. I want to be an instrument whereby you can love people through me. There's no more exalted call in life than that, believe me, because it's what we were made for. So turn away from sin. Yes, it's hard. Yes, the battle can be fierce. But if you persevere, uniting your will with God's will, he will give you strength to overcome. For sin is not to have any power over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, you're not under a law that just simply says you have to obey. You are under grace. That is, you are under the life-giving Spirit of God who dwells with you and in you and who enables you to overcome, to conquer your own and my own evil desires that are selfish. It really does work. But we have to cooperate. We have to put our whole wills behind it. It's not, well, God didn't give me the grace, therefore I don't need to pay attention to it. I ask God, nothing happened. Well, ask God and then start cooperating and watch what grace is there. God will never violate your free will. Even if you ask him, he won't violate your free will. But put your will under his lordship. Freely give your will over to God and then watch what he does. What then, Paul says, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Of course not. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So the real question is, who are you going to obey, God or Satan? That's really the question. But thanks be to God that although you were once slaves of sin, you have become obedient from the heart to the pattern of teaching to which you were entrusted. Freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. In other words, I don't want to do anything else in my life except what God shows me is right and good for me to do. I don't want to do anything else. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to following the Lord. We know we're far more than slaves. We're sons and daughters. But there's something about that image that's very important. He is my Lord, my Savior, my Master, and I want to follow him. I want to obey him in the small things and the great things. Believe me, brothers and sisters, when you, in a sense, bind yourselves to God that way, you become the most free. It's always the paradox. Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord. Had not the Lord been with us, let Israel say, had not the Lord been with us when men rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us alive when their fury was inflamed against us. Their torrent would have swept over us. But blessed be the Lord who did not leave us a prey to their teeth. We were rescued like a bird from the fowler's snare. Broken was the snare, and we were freed. God wants to break those bonds of sin and death in you. He wants to give you a heart after his own heart. But we need to come before him and surrender our lives to him, that he might accomplish in us what we honestly most desire. We were made for God. We were made for heaven. We're not made for hell and the things of hell. We can choose them. But that's not why we were created. God did give us a free will so we can freely choose. He did so that we would never be coerced by his love. To love him is a free choice on our part. I urge you to make that choice. And the gospel is taken from the gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 39 to 48. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Brothers and sisters, neither you nor I know when the hour will come. Neither you nor I know when God will call us home. And the Lord wants us to be prepared for it. An hour you do not expect the Son of Man to come. So don't put off living your life in such a way that if God came to you tomorrow, you'd be ready. And then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Who is the faithful servant? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds him doing so, caring for others, reaching out. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, he begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants. He eats and drinks in tremendous excess. He gets drunk. And then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. Brothers and sisters, we think many times we're getting away with so much. We're not getting away with anything. God sees and knows all. So we want to repent for where we've been careless, where we've taken our life, so to speak, into our own hands and done whatever it is we want, expecting that, yeah, someday God will come and call for me, but not now, so I'll just do whatever I want. Don't do that. If that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, so he does whatever he wants. He beats the maid servants and the men servants. He drinks to excess. He's just a miserable mess. Then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. Brothers and sisters, don't get yourself in that position, please. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Brothers and sisters, take heed whatever level of responsibility you have in life, at work, at home. Carry it out as a servant of the master, because that's what you and I are. We are servants of the master. Follow him. Follow him. Really, make decisions to follow him. This is a very, very important gospel. Read it every day. Take time to ponder it. Because what God is saying is, you do not know the day nor the hour when I will come for you. So we want to live our lives in a way that if God called us to himself today, we're ready, or tomorrow, or next week. Sometimes we can think, oh, well, I'm young. I have a whole life ahead of me. You could be killed by an accident today or tomorrow. None of us knows the day or the hour. Live our lives ready to meet him whenever he comes, ready to render an account to the one who loves us beyond price. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.